This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. I'm Dustin Yard and you're tuned into On The Ball podcast. We're approaching the first Grand Slam of 2020 season and it's going to be the 108th edition of the Australian Championships. The Australian Championships began way back in 1905 and as well as being the 52nd Australian Open this time, it will be the 208th Grand Slam tournament of the Open era. To preview this tournament, I have with me my colleague and tennis aficionado, Kezath Adajania, joining me on the show. Hi and welcome back to the show, Kezath.
Hi, Dustin. Good to be here.
Well, Kezath, we're excited to see the first Grand Slam begin, aren't we? But we have to start on a slightly gloomier note this time because of all the bushfires going on in the state of Victoria, of course, where Melbourne is located, and the great environmental hazard that it has been causing. Now, there's been a lot of smoke caused by the bushfires and air quality is bad. How's this going to impact the Australian Open?
So, you know, that's the big talking point at the Australian Open so far this year and elsewhere also in Australia where other events have been playing in this year. So, you know, the qualifying events, for example, at the Australian Open has already started. And, you know, we've heard instances about how players have been inconvenienced to be on the court and playing under these kind of conditions. In fact, there was a report of one player who actually got into a fit of coughing. And then she had breathing difficulties and then she had to withdraw. And she was leading the qualifying event. Okay. And there were many other players also in the qualifying event who found it hard to sort of play in these conditions. And elsewhere also, exhibition matches were held. People like players like Eugenie Bouchard, for instance, had difficulty in playing. So, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about, firstly, whether Australian Open will actually be held or not, or whether the date's going to be pushed back or postponed. So, pushing back, postponing is not an option because there are other events in a tennis calendar. And the tennis calendar has already started and there are other events already lined up. But tournament organizers were kind of hoping that, and they were saying that, you know, by the time the matches will start at the Australian Open, maybe the smog and the smoke would go down and the air quality would improve a little bit. But there's been a lot of suggestions being made to the Australian Open by the people over there, administrative authorities, city authorities over there, to sort of have a air policy, have an air policy in place. They already have, already a heat policy in place. So that, you know, because this is Australian summer. So that also has been a lot of problematic, been problematic for a lot of players in the past. So they already have a very comprehensive heat policy, but there's a need to have perhaps an air policy also over there. So that if it gets too smoky, if it gets too choky on court, then, you know, you can take a break or play after some time and so on and so forth. The other thing is that they could also play a lot of matches indoors, especially on courts where there is a roof. Okay, but there are a lot of senior players. Like I was on a conference call yesterday organized by ESPN for all journalists from around the world. And John McEnroe was there and Chris Evert was there and they were answering our queries. And somebody asked them that, you know, is there a scope for Australian Open to become the first ever indoors championships? And McEnroe was saying that he would love to see that. So there is a clamor to make it an indoors championship because, you know, it kind of insulates you from outside environment. You already have a clay, you already have a hard court event at Australian Open, you have a grass court event, and now you might have an indoors championships. But still too early days to talk about that. But in the light of all these environmental challenges that Australian Open has been facing because of heat, because of the air, more and more now the conversation around having an indoor championships, an indoor Grand Slam would only go up from here on.
Well, we'll have to just wait and watch how it develops. Let's hope it does not affect the tournament too much. Because I also think the ATP did send out an email to players saying while the conditions were challenging, they weren't still unhealthy as of now for the players, right? So that would happen. Well, speaking about the men's draw first, Kezath, the defending champion is Djokovic and he enters this tournament ranked number two. And he did win two Grand Slams last year. More importantly, we saw him dominate Nadal at the recently held ATP World Cup Finals, beating him there and, of course, lifting the cup with Serbia as a result. Now, Nadal has looked like one of the strongest contenders last year, yet he hasn't got anywhere close to beating Djokovic. How is the men's field looking for you this time around?
Well, two favorites, Nadal and Djokovic, to pick the title. Federer would be the third favorite, But I think Nadal and Djokovic have been neck to neck. Hmm. In 2019, both of them won two Grand Slams each. But, you know, this is Australian Open and this is a hard court event. So I would sort of rank Djokovic a little ahead than Nadal in the hard court race.
Did you see him dominate Nadal in the final?
Absolutely,
last year,
yeah. And even last year's Australian Open final also, it was Djokovic, and he completely dominated the match, if you remember. They've met 55 times in their career. Djokovic has won 29 matches, Nadal has won 26 matches. So head-to-head meetings, they're pretty much even. But look at the hard court matchups. So Djokovic has beaten Nadal in the last seven outdoor hard court events, dating back to the China Open, played in 2013. So since 2013, China Open, which was played about in September or so, Nadal hasn't beaten Djokovic on hard courts. So this is obviously Djokovic's turf. He's won seven Australian Open titles here, more than Nadal and Federer. So we're going to Djokovic's backyard, and you have to favor Djokovic to pick up the Australian Open title, but you can never count out Nadal. And you can never count out Federer as well. So that's what we're looking at for Djokovic and Nadal. Federer has already won seven titles over here. You know, he's well rested. Okay, we've seen, and as you've pointed out, Djokovic and Nadal both have played the ATP Cup. Okay, that's been a grueling 1 week. It's a team event, and you know, you have to play every day. Federer has not played the ATP Cup, so he's well rested.
Yeah,
and when Federer is well rested, he can really, really play very well. And he gets a little intimidated when playing against Nadal, but that was on the clay courts. That's not on the hard courts. So he has demonstrated in the last few years that he can beat Nadal. He can even beat Djokovic, or at least push him through the distance. You can never count either of them out.
Yeah. Well, looking at the overall men's Grand Slam standings, we've always been discussing Federer's lead over the rest. But now Rafael Nadal is so close with his tally of 19 Grand Slam titles, just one behind Federer's tally of 20. Well, Kesat, can you imagine if Nadal wins in Australia, he will equal Federer in the Grand Slam tally?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty that's pretty awesome, right?
I mean, it's not very awesome for the Federer fans. I can vouch for that. Yeah.
Obviously. And there are many.
Yeah.
But just think about it. I mean, just a couple of years ago, we were thinking about Federer as the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And one of the factors that actually played in his favor was the number of Grand Slam that he has won. And now, just the way things have shaped up the last couple of years, Nadal is just one Grand Slam away from equaling Federer's tally of 20.
Yeah.
And Djokovic is also not far behind. He's won 16 slams. And it's amazing that Federer is still playing. He's 38 years old, but he's still in the top three, and he's still counted as among the favorites in any Grand Slam that he enters. And he may have, probably this year and probably the next year, last couple of years left in his career. So you can't rule him out of winning one or two Grand Slams still. Either this year or the next or both. But like it or not, Nadal is just inches behind him. And Nadal is, he's just 33 years old. Djokovic is 32 years old. So assuming that they also have a few more years to go, it's quite possible that Nadal can actually win more number of Grand Slams than Federer. And Djokovic can win more Grand Slams than the two of them.
Yeah.
So, as far as the longevity is concerned, these three guys win hands down. And they have dominated the Grand Slams like anything. Okay, you know, the big three have won the last 12 Grand Slam men's singles between them. You know, and Nadal has won five of them, Djokovic has won four, and Federer has won three. So the last 12 Grand Slams have been taken by just Federer, Nadal and Djokovic. And this is just one part of their overall dominance in the last decade. Obviously, going into this Grand Slam, the three players are still favorites. You still have the young guns like Tsitsipas, Medvedev, Thiem and Zverev. But apart from Medvedev, who almost won the US Open last year, the others haven't really been much of a challenge to Djokovic, Nadal and Federer, especially in Grand Slam matches. So, till the next gen actually steps up and proves to be a decisive challenge to these three guys, we see these three guys dominating for quite some more time.
Just to add another stat into the mix there, Kesat, 13 of the last 14 Australian Opens have also been won by these top three.
Yeah,
and the only exception is Wawrinka in 2014.
Correct. So Wawrinka has been one of those very rare candidates, apart from Murray, who's been able to sort of penetrate in this big three, but not on a consistent basis.
Well, speaking about Andy Murray, though, we did see last year at the Australian Open, he had the tearful press conference speaking about where you might have to retire.
Correct.
And we were looking forward to him participating in this Australian Open, but he has been ruled out with injury, right?
Yeah, but at least the good news is that he's back on the tour and he's playing.
Yeah.
So that's the bit of a good news that we can take along. And so long as he's healthy and comes back and plays the rest of the year, I think it's good for the game, good for the audience.
And also speaking about the next gen there, Keza, there are some interesting numbers here. At 21 years and 174 days, number 6 seed Tsitsipas, if he wins it, he will be the youngest Australian Open men's single champion since Djokovic won the title year in 2008 when he was just 20 years and 250 days. What do you think are the chances of that happening, considering Tsitsipas did upset Federer in last year's Australian Open and he did end the season with a title at the ATP?
So Tsitsipas upset Federer last year, but then he ran out of steam.
Yeah.
As far as the season-ending championships is concerned, yes, that's a big, big win. But in a Grand Slam, that's still different from a Grand Slam event. In a Grand Slam event, my rule is very simple. Unless and until you prove your win your first Grand Slam, you can't really prove to be a really strong contender henceforth.
Yeah.
So they still have to win that Grand Slam. They still have to play, come in the finals, and they have to push the other players to be able to be taken seriously in Grand Slams. So Zverev has been a big disappointment so far. I don't think that he's ever played in a Grand Slam semi-final. I don't have the records with me, but I doubt he has ever played into a Grand Slam semi-final. Even in Grand Slam quarterfinals also, just a barely handful of performances, appearances that he's had over there. So while they are great players, they still have to make a mark.
Medvedev did come really close to making a mark at the US Open.
And Medvedev is also mentally strong. He has taken on a very hostile US Open crowd, if you remember. And he turned it around. He made them like him eventually, you know. So, Medvedev's mental, what do you call it, capability to win a Grand Slam is better than Tsitsipas's and Zverev's. So, of the young guns, I would rate Medvedev's chances a little more than the others.
Well, moving on to the women's side now, Kezat. Serena is yet again just one shy of equaling Margaret Court's tally of 24 Grand Slam titles. Do you think she can do it this year?
She can very well do it this year. She can very well do it. And, you know, I'm reminded of what, again, McEnroe and Evert said in yesterday's conference call with journalists, that, you know, Australian Open is the one Grand Slam where Serena does not face too much of pressure. Clay court, French Open, clay is not her favorite surface. Wimbledon, she faces a lot of pressure. US Open, she faces a lot of pressure because it's the home crowd. So Australian Open, as McEnroe was saying, is the happy slam. So this is where Serena can really do a lot of damage. She can go deep. In fact, this is the Grand Slam in 2017 where she won her last Grand Slam title. And would you believe it? That was the last tournament actually that she had won.
Until really recently.
Until the Auckland one last week.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. I mean, this time she's approaching it a little differently. She's playing warm-up tournaments before the Grand Slam. Usually she doesn't play warm-up tournaments. She thinks that she can go into the Grand Slam, she can figure it out how to win. She has a deep run to, let's say, semis and the finals, and then something pops and she loses. But this time she's been playing warm-up events. She played the Auckland event and she actually won. So that should give her a lot of confidence, a lot of booster to sort of do well at the Australian Open. Otherwise, she's just one shy of tallying Margaret Court's record of 24 Grand Slam titles. And again, Chris Evert was telling us yesterday that she actually, Williams, still hasn't done it in the last 2 years ever since she came back from maternity leave. But you know what? This could be the year or the next where she actually wins and even surpasses Margaret Court's
record. And she would have an opportunity to do it at the Margaret Court Arena, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And somebody, I think, was saying that, you know, this is what, the 25th or 50th anniversary?
It's the 50th anniversary of Margaret Court's career.
Correct.
Calendar Grand Slam.
So that's, it's an awesome time to have, to be winning the her 24th, you know, Grand Slam. So she could definitely, Serena could definitely win this.
Well, but who are the other favorites on the women's side for you, Keza?
Naomi Osaka and Carolina Pliskova are the ones that we need to watch out for. Ash Barty is also there.
Yeah.
Okay, but remember that she's an Australian and there would be a lot of home crowd pressure for her. So I would rate Osaka and Carolina Pliskova a little ahead than Ash Barty.
Do you think Osaka would have overcome the tumultuous, if you can call it that, year that she had in 2019? She did go through four coaches in that period, right?
Yes, but I think she's fixed her coaching dilemma now. She played well, reasonably well, I think, in the concluding months of last year. So, I think Osaka should be back this year, 2020.
Well, a word on also Coco Gauff, Kelzad. Okay. Last time she burst onto the scene by beating Venus Williams. Yeah. And this time, first round draw, she's up against Venus Williams again. Okay. What can we expect from her in this tournament?
Well, she's young. She's energetic. She's a go-getter. Also, this is not the US Open. This is not a home crowd for her. So, it's not so much of pressure for her. And, you know, to be playing Venus Williams in a Grand Slam event for any women's tennis player is quite a privilege, is quite a big thing for all the things that Venus has done for women's tennis. So, obviously, Coco Gauff is going to be mindful of that. She's going to be respectful of her opponent. But she has a good chance of beating Venus Williams in the first round. But we'll see. It should be a very interesting match.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting, Kezad. Let's see what she does at this tournament. Lastly, before we end, Kezad, I have to put you in the spot and ask you, who are your favorites to lift the crown on both the men's and the women's side of the draw?
Okay, men's side, I would pick Djokovic.
Okay.
Women's side, I'm going to be a little adventurous and I'm going to say Serena Williams.
Okay.
Okay. I think this could finally be the slam that she wins, but it's just prediction.
And if she wins this, do you see her lifting many more after it now that the chip is off her shoulder?
Yeah, that's a good question, but I don't think so, because competition is coming up from behind, and the other young guns are also there. And in women's tennis, you know, the gap between Serena Williams and the other players have now diminished.
Yeah.
Unlike in the men's tennis, where the big three are still ruling the roost. So, I don't see Serena winning too many Grand Slams, provided she wins this, assuming that she wins this and takes a monkey off her back. But she definitely is a favorite in any Grand Slam that she enters, as long as she plays. I have to hand it out to her.
Well, thanks for sharing all your views with us, Kezad.
My pleasure.
We look forward to an exciting Australian Open 2020. Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of On The Ball. If you have any queries, feel free to email us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and other updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.